asshole.
I'm Susie Armstrong, and this is The World of Racing on the Motor Racing Network.
If you got your hopes up that the Iowa offense was going to look a whole lot different than 2016, I hate to break it to you, but we're about to burst your bubble.
I got it! Fine. Let me have it! I got it! Fine. Let me have it! I got it!
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
I'm not worried at all. My concern, yes. Right, and there's a lot of work to be done, but we've made a lot of progress in a short amount of time, and we're going to continue to get better. That's what we did this morning. Tomorrow's another day, another opportunity to get better.
It's Iowa wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland on Saturday at Media Day. Welcome in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, coming your way on 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, where we were Saturday afternoon for about 3 or 4 hours over at the Iowa Football Complex. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. That's where we're at right now on the southwest side. And all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. Welcome in. A Monday program underway. It's going to be a good one for you. We will recap Iowa Media Day with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. You will hear some select quotes from Kirk Ferentz during his opening news conference that took place Saturday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And we're even going to squeeze in some Iowa basketball talk today as well, because there was some big news on the hoops recruiting front over the weekend. Tried to steal a little bit of the thunder from the football team, and what a weekend it was. We will also today touch on Kurt Warner's Hall of Fame induction, as well as another big weekend for Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson on the PGA Tour. And oh, by the way, Major League Baseball is still going on. Lots of stuff to cover today. Alex, how was your weekend?
It was great. Obviously, we were out at the Iowa football facility on Saturday. We learned a few things. Not a lot of pressing news coming out of Iowa City, but I think something that everybody wanted to know about was the offense. How is it going to look under first-year offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz and the quarterback situation? And we'll get to all of those things, but like you said, the offense, for those expecting that they were going to come out in some kind of Chip Kelly-style spread, I think you're going to be disappointed, and you're probably going to be disappointed because that was never going to happen.
We'll hear a little bit more from Brian Ferentz coming up on tomorrow's program, but I was in the scrum for about 25, 30 minutes and working on a rather lengthy story about Brian Ferentz for VoiceOfTheHawkeyes.com, and I wanted to make sure that I heard him cover as many topics as possible on Saturday. And John Patchett, who runs a website called HawkeyesMike.com. You may or may not be familiar with it. Our former producer here at KGYM, Tyler Chumland, is a contributor on that website. And John, who's a great guy, was asking Brian Ferentz a couple questions, and I thought he asked a really, really obvious question that I don't think people probably thought was that obvious. And I love the way that he phrased it, and if I had it for you right now, I'd play it. We'll have it for you tomorrow. But he asked Brian Ferentz if Wyoming were to watch 2016 game tape of the Iowa offense, how helpful would it be preparing for the season opener? And Brian said, extremely helpful. And I think with that comment, you probably heard a lot of the air just go out of the excitement that Brian's going to come in, he's going to turn this offense upside down, you're going to see a lot of great things. Now, I also think he's going to put his own fingerprints on the offense, and you are going to see some things that are different. He had another great quote, and if you've never listened to Brian Ferentz talk, you know, I could have spent the entire time just listening to Brian, because he's, and I mean no disrespect here to any of the other coaches who, up until Kirk told us in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day that he listens, I wouldn't have expected any of the other coaches to listen. Now it's always in the back of my mind. I mean no disrespect to those guys. But Brian is a straight shooter. He tells it like it is. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I was chatting with him about on Saturday was the comments that he made on the radio slash podcast in Des Moines over the summer. And he goes, yeah, I said what I said because I felt like it needed to be said. So he's not backing down from any criticisms of Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa State, anything like that. Brian tells it like it is. And I'm hoping that he maintains this higher profile than we've seen in the past from Ken O'Keefe and Greg Davis, the two guys that have occupied that chair the prior 18 seasons that Kirk Ferentz or the Iowa football coach. Brian has a couple ways of referring to his father, but he never calls him dad, which I think is there's a clear separation between his father and his boss, the guy that he works for. Now, technically, Gary Barta is his boss because of the whole nepotism thing when he was hired, and they had to put that into place. But look, we all know that the offensive coordinator doesn't answer to the athletic director. The offensive coordinator answers to the head coach. But some great stuff from Brian Ferentz. We'll go a little bit more in-depth with that tomorrow. Just to get you caught up to speed on some of the things that we learned on Saturday, Matt Quarles, who I know a lot of Hawkeye fans are very excited about because he comes at a position. Look, you heard Kelton Copeland there at the beginning of the program talking about, am I concerned, am I worried about the lack of depth at wide receiver? Matt Quarles, who we found out via Bob Davey at Mountain West Media Days, was transferring to Iowa from New Mexico, is still in the process of waiting for the clearing. Is it still the clearinghouse? Waiting for the NCAA yes. to push through the paperwork. So that means that he's going to be a little bit behind when he gets to Iowa City, but he's still going to be eligible to play. So Kirk was asked about him on Saturday, and you could see this deer in the headlights look like, I don't think I can talk about him because the paperwork and everything is still in progress. But the other transfer, the other graduate transfer, James Butler, was there. And I'll tell you what, he passes the eyeball
he's
test.
A big guy.
He is yoked.
I mean, he's 5'8", maybe 5'9", but he
is. I'd say he's a little bit bigger than that. Maybe I'm misjudging him.
I mean, you talk about a guy who looks like he spends a lot of time in the weight room. Other than Kelton Copeland himself, he was the most shredded human being out on that practice field on Saturday.
So here's my two observations from spending a lot of time around a couple of the position groups. And on Media Day, you get photographers from the Des Moines Register and the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and the university takes some pictures, and they pose the guys together, and it's standard Media Day fare. They had the four running backs, Tokes Akinrabadi and Torrin Young, were there along with Akram Wadley and James Butler. And what really struck me was, and I know this has been written about, and there are some stories online, I just can't remember which writer in particular, maybe it was Mark Emmert from the Register, friend of the program, those guys, specifically Wadley and Butler, really seem to like one another. There's a camaraderie there, and all I could think of in watching their interactions is the old steel sharpens steel, that, okay, you bring in this veteran guy who rushed for over 1,000 yards, 1,300 yards last year at Nevada in the Mountain West, and it's going to help push Akram Wadley and vice versa. And Brian Ferentz made a couple comments, and I don't know whether, I know Kyle Mann, our producer, was able to get in a little bit of the Brian Ferentz scrum as well. I don't know whether you overheard these or not, but Brian basically said, look, you get 11 guys on offense. You know that five of them are the offensive line. You know that one of them is the quarterback. And after that, it's a crapshoot. And it's up to them to put the five best guys on the field. And so then you start thinking, is he talking three tight ends? There was a lot of talk about the fullback on Saturday. And between Ross and Kulik, I don't necessarily think, well, you can't talk Iowa football and not talk about the fullback. I just, it's not in the equation. So I thought that comment was intriguing as well. The fact that you got five guys that it can be receivers, it can be running backs, it can be tight ends, fullbacks. They just have to come up with the right combination to put those guys out there. But you heard Kelton Copeland coming into the program today talking about the obvious question, the lack of depth at receiver. They don't have that problem at running back. I liked what I saw from Wadley and Butler. This is where things get a little sketchy. And I said this on Twitter. If you follow me at Todd Brommelkamp on Saturday, you saw that I shared my feelings on this. I did not like the body language of one of Iowa's two quarterbacks that's battling for the starting job.
I did not see your tweet, but I had the almost exact same impression.
And I've seen it before, and I've seen it before on the guys that usually wind up not winning the job. And look, it's 4:15 on a Monday on August 7th, and I don't necessarily like doing this. I'm one guy. I've been to 18 of these. And I'm not saying my observations count for anything more than what they are. One guy sees something, and it registered with me. Tyler Wiegers, I won't say checked out. That's not the way that he seemed. Just really, really annoyed with the fact that you had the photographs of, okay, can you stand back to back? And this was... I was standing right there for this, and it's standard. Anytime you've got a quarterback battle, you on media day, you're taking the pictures. Okay, can you stand side by side, shoulder blade to shoulder blade, and here both of you are holding the football? And okay, now you, because the photographers never know who they're shooting. As a matter of fact, I heard one of them, and I like the guy, so I'm not going to throw him under the bus. But I heard one of the photographers say, okay, can you not block your number? Because that's the only way that I know who you are. And I thought, kind of patronizing to say that, but these are college kids and they took it all in stride. You get the quarterback shoulder to shoulder, footballs, okay, here we go, two quarterbacks, three quarterbacks. I remember the one year when it was McNutt and all those guys, you had four quarterbacks. And so then it's like, okay, you, and he's pointing to Nathan Stanley on the right. Okay, I need you to take one step forward. Okay, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is the photo. Like, Stanley wins the job. That's the photo that they're running. And then, okay, now you step back and you step forward. And Uyghur steps forward and he looked like there were 1,000 different places. The look on Jay Cutler's face today in Miami, very similar to the look of Tyler Uyghur's on Saturday. And by the way, our poll question today at KGYMradio.com has to do with Smoke and Jay Cutler signing with the Miami Dolphins. $10 million to come out of retirement for 1 year to lead the Dolphins. Did the Dolphins make the right call in signing Jay Cutler? Yes or no? A big thank you to our friends at Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. And next to the Home Depot, plenty of Hawkeye football talk today. I want to know what you guys think after hearing from the Hawkeyes and reading some of the stories that were written on Saturday. Are you more or less optimistic about the 2017 Hawkeyes? 319-366-1600.
The quarterback position has been something that the coaching staff has been talking about. Oh, it's coming along. Both guys are moving forward. I think at this point, it's a story. I wasn't ready to say it was a story after the spring practice. I wasn't ready to say it was a story going into, or at least a huge story as to someone hasn't emerged. It's a story now. Because I, like you were talking about with body language, and I hate doing this because we're talking about college kids. We're talking about amateurs. But
do it, because that's why people hate the people who do the job that we do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Last year, when we were at the first basketball media day, we talked to all the freshmen. We talked to Jordan Bohannon. We talked to Cordell Pimsel. We talked to Tyler Cook. And just talking to those guys, you got the sense that they're very confident in what they're doing. They knew that they were going to go out there and there were going to be some bumps along the way, but there was no intimidation level. There was no hesitation. They were very confident in themselves and their abilities. And they were confident talking to the media. Everything that went along with being a big-time Division I athlete, there was confidence there. talking to both of those quarterbacks, there's a little bit of wide-eyed deer in headlights look at this point. And I'm not saying that one that is going to have any effect on what happens on Saturday or what happens for the rest of this training camp or the rest of this fall camp. But it just, that body language thing, I couldn't get over it. And it leaves us, and I think we both left with that same impression of someone is going to have to win this job, and they may or may not be ready to take over.
Again, going back to my conversation with Brian Ferentz on Saturday, I say my conversation was standing there with several other members of the media, but he said something that I thought was really enlightening, and he called back to the 2014 season, and that was the infamous Rudock, Beathard. Rudock's the starting quarterback, but I think they want Beathard to win the job, and oh my God, Iowa gets waxed at the Tax Slayer Bowl, and a couple days after the bowl game is over, the depth chart comes out, the post-bowl depth chart, which Iowa had never done before, and it had Beathard listed as the number one, and obviously we all know how things played out. Jake Rudock graduated, transferred to Michigan, had a really fine final year in the Big Ten for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. Everything's copacetic. Beathard is what Beathard was, a very good quarterback for the Hawkeyes. They had that tremendous season 2 years ago. Brian Ferentz said, look, at the end of that season, Beathard still hadn't won the job. Beathard had not won the job. Okay? Rudock didn't lose the job. Beathard hadn't won the job. The coaching staff had to get together and they had to make a decision. And the decision was, who do we choose? Neither guy has won the job. Who do we go with moving forward? And they made the decision to go with Beathard. You can make the argument that it was the right call. I think it was. History and hindsight are always 20-20. I think, and again, this is just from talking with the coaches on Saturday, I got the impression they want Nathan Stanley to win the job. They don't want to be in that position again where you've got two guys and neither one of them grabs it, because nothing good comes from that. They want Stanley to win the job. You talked to Chris Doyle on Saturday, and you're talking about the quarterbacks. Question about the quarterbacks. First guy he talks about, Nathan Stanley. Second biggest quarterback that he's ever had to work with, next to Nathan Chandler, who, by the way, was a very good quarterback, underrated in the pantheon of Kirk Ferentz quarterbacks. No one ever talks about Nathan Chandler. Won 10 games the only year that he was a starter. But Stanley's the second biggest guy. And then Doyle goes, well, but we've won with smaller guys. You know, Brad Banks is like 6 feet tall, and he's sort of hedging a little bit. But you could tell that, at least, let's put it this way, if Stanley were a vehicle on a parking lot of cars and Chris Doyle was shopping for a new automobile, you just got the sense that that's the one that he's going to ask the salesman, hey, go grab the keys. I really want to take that for a test drive, because he looks at that body and he looks at the skill set there. And again, this is my favorite part about this job, because I share my opinions, and everybody knows the old saying about opinions. They're like sphincters. Everybody has one, and they usually all smell. I share my opinions, and then everybody blasts people for sharing their opinions. I'm one guy, and I'm doing a lot of reading in, but I'm doing a lot of reading in to a subject that I know a lot of people out there care about, whether or not they admit it. And you can agree with me, you can disagree with me, you can say it's irresponsible. Don't care. That's my opinion. But on Saturday, I just got the overwhelming sense that, and I'm not saying that the deck is stacked, because the coaching staff, I don't think, has ever stacked the deck in favor of a quarterback, not even Beathard and Rudock. But if you did a blind poll, I think the majority, overwhelming majority of guys there would choose Stanley to win the job. Now, it's incumbent on him to do so. Now, we've got people on the text line asking about Peyton Manziel. True freshman, weren't there on Saturday, didn't get a look at him. I didn't get a chance to go to Iowa City this morning. The first 15, 20 minutes of practice was open, and they hardly ever do anything worth noting at that point anyway. But I think it would be really off the wall for this coaching staff to go with a true freshman at quarterback. I know why people are talking about Manziel. I just don't think it's an option.
And I agree with the fact that, and I've said this, I said this at Media Day, I'll continue to say this, I do think that they want Nathan Stanley to win the job. I just got the sense from talking to Kirk, talking to Brian, talking to Ken O'Keefe, that has not happened yet. It has not happened yet.
Did you talk to the guy with the ESPN magazine hat on and the Hawkeye polo and the Hawkeye sunglasses?
I did not.
Okay.
It just...
From a newspaper that had independent in the title. Okay, well, at least he's got a sense of irony. 319-366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It's going to be busy today. We're going to be chatting with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com coming up in just a few minutes. He can refute everything that I just said. He can share his own opinions. I think we're probably going to be on the same page on a lot of that stuff. Kyle is with us in the studio. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way. And all that, and you get an and. We have another prize package from the Amana Colonies Golf Course today. Round of golf, some range balls, cart, good stuff for you. Still plenty of time to hit the links. Somebody's going to be a winner before 7 o'clock tonight. Continue listening for your chance to be just that. 426, we'll step aside, come back. Kyle will have that aforementioned big board update for you and more. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Welcome back. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com set to join us in just a few minutes, talking Hawkeye football. Big weekend for Zach Johnson on the PGA Tour. Cedar Rapids' own Kurt Warner becomes the first Iowan enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame over the weekend. Lots of stuff to get to. Kyle's going to fill us in on some of that right now. Your very first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa basketball team made some news on a football-heavy weekend in Iowa City, securing a commitment from 2018 shooting guard CJ Frederick out of Kentucky. The 6'4" shooter chose Iowa over Xavier, Indiana, and Butler, but what makes his commitment interesting is that the Hawkeyes actually don't currently have an open scholarship for him. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson was in Akron, Ohio over the weekend for the World Golf Championships, and he came in second after shooting 11 under par. He was near the top of the leaderboard all weekend, but Hideki Matsuyama shot a 61 on Sunday to fly up the board and win comfortably at 16 under. Another Cedar Rapids native, former Rams and Cardinals quarterback Kurt Warner, was inducted into the Hall of Fame over the weekend. Warner lays claim to one of the most improbable stories to NFL stardom, going from undrafted out of Northern Iowa to a Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP. The Colonels made another roster move over the weekend, recalling Shane Carrier to fill in for Aaron Whitefield as he heads to the DL, and that paid off quickly as he homered twice yesterday in a 4-0 victory over the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers to even the series. They're in Wisconsin playing the third of four tonight, with Tyler Beardsley taking on Thomas Jenkins at 7 o'clock. After our show today, we've got the Twins beginning a four-game home-and-home series with the Milwaukee Brewers. Tonight's matchup will have Minnesota's Irvin Santana dueling with Brett Suter, and that'll be getting started shortly after 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Speaking of the Twins, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the baseball news today. Sad passings of two very good baseball players. One, former Philadelphia Phillies catcher Darren Dalton, who was a tremendous world champion, not only with the Phillies, but with the Florida Marlins. And one that hit me really close to home, Don Baylor. I'm always a big fan of Don Baylor, former Cubs manager, 1979 American League MVP, a really tremendous guy, was on the 87 World Series champion team in Minnesota, and a guy who at the end of his career was the veteran that you wanted to bring into the clubhouse. His nickname was Groove, and an old school guy. Cubs fans may remember him for not giving two flips about who Sammy Sosa was or what Sammy Sosa was all about, which was Sammy Sosa. Don Baylor said, look, you don't want me talking about you being late to spring training and you being a bad teammate. Don't show up late to spring training. Don't be a bad teammate. Tremendous, tremendous guy. You can't find anybody to say a bad thing about him around the baseball world. Don Baylor succumbing to a myeloma, I believe. And Darren Dalton had brain cancer, which hits close to home for me because I lost an uncle to that. Both guys gone way too soon. It's 4:30. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is going to be with us in just a few minutes. We'll talk Hawkeye football with him. Take your phone calls and texts as well, 319-366-1600. Back with more after this sports beat, right?
We're going to head to a bottom of the hour sports beat, which is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell.
Linder Tire Service. Well, we put service first.
Get ready for summer travel with a free tire pressure and tread check, plus $10 off alignments from Linder Tire. Linder Tire has been keeping family road trips safe for over 80 years. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. LinderTire.com. Like them on Facebook for coupons and deals.
Come to Linder Tire Service for quality tires and service.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Jay Cutler has a chance most don't get because it's a chance most don't need. You follow me? After stepping off the field and into the broadcast booth, Cutler's decided to step out of the booth and back onto the field, signing a one-year contract with the Dolphins where he will take the place of the injured Ryan Tannehill. What's this opportunity present for Cutler? Well, a chance to get a lot of us off his back. He's been badly overrated, hasn't had a winning season in 5 years. Know how many seasons he's played in the playoffs? One. In 11 seasons. Most don't expect the Dolphins to be playoff good, so here's where I see Cutler having a chance to finish strong. In the field of leadership, this team needs him. Needs him to come in, own camp, mesh with his line and receivers quickly, be the offensive voice in the locker room. No more head-hanging, self-pitying reactions when something doesn't go his way. The hard-to-like Jay Cutler from Santa Claus, Indiana, woke up this morning to find opportunity under his tree. Now take advantage of it. In 60 seconds, just when I thought the NFL was getting it.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver 5 times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
So the NFL recently said they would allow more creativity with celebrations. Fun would not automatically earn a flag, but don't shoot the imaginary arrow into the sky. Redskins cornerback Josh Norman thinks the NFL's picking on him specifically by pointing out that no form of imaginary weaponry celebrations are legal. Norman likes to shoot his imaginary arrow with his imaginary bow, but he got a real-life penalty and fined for it last year. Now, his biggest point seems to be that not all imaginary weaponry should be treated equal. And he's exactly right. He says, quote, "Come on, man, let's have fun. We're not out here shooting someone with a gun. I could understand that. It's shooting a bow and arrow, an imaginary bow and arrow. Why is that violence? You saying the people that came before us were violent? That's how I see it," end quote. Point Norman. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
At the Home Depot, free carpet installation means free carpet installation. And free includes clearing out furniture, ripping out old carpet, hauling it away, even carpeting stairs, with no hidden fees. Free installation on carpet $699 or more means free installation. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Find Pennzoil at a Walmart near you and make the switch.
4:36, we've got breaking news. I think Kirk Ferentz texted the program.
Stanley's already won
during the break.
The quarterback position. He's already won the race.
I think if you've got Kirk Ferentz's personal cell phone number and the last four digits are 3844, and you can confirm that that's actually Kirk Ferentz, a text on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, Stanley has already won the quarterback job. Well, that may be the case. But that doesn't do us any good. Have you ever listened to sports talk radio when there's no quarterback controversy to talk about? Come on. You guys know how the game is played. We got a prize pack for you from the Amana Colonies Golf Course to give away before 7 o'clock today. Coming up tomorrow on the program, a little MLB talk. Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com will be with us. Still plenty of moves to be made. Wilson Contreras of the Chicago Cubs, by the way, named the National League Player of the Week, and a little local baseball news. Clark Beaker of the Cedar Rapids Colonels once again named Midwest League Pitcher of the Week. So some honors going on there. I know the Colonels back home later on this week taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits. Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines here. Bring Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com in. Rob joins us frequently. Will be more frequently, hopefully, during football season. But Rob was at Media Day on Saturday. We had to go to Media Day on Saturday. Mike Halas gets to go to Canton, Ohio, and the Bridgestone and all of that good stuff covering Zach Johnson and Kurt Warner. Finally found a way to get out of Media Day. Rob, let's go ahead and start. What was the one big takeaway for you from Saturday? What'd you learn?
Nothing, not really. I mean, you didn't.
Great answer. Is it up there? Let me see. Nothing. Ding. Okay. I agree. It wasn't really newsworthy.
It's Iowa. I mean, you guys have been around here long enough. I mean, and people hate us for saying this, but it just is. It's a developmental program. The first week of camp, they're developing. They're trying to figure out what they have and how they can use what they have. And that's really where they are right now. And I wouldn't suspect that we're going to get a whole lot more information at Kids Day on Saturday. We'll get a little more information. But we got about 15 minutes of practice this morning, 20 minutes, and again, not a whole lot. You know, Wiggers and Stanley were both taking first team reps, and it's. I know everybody wants immediacy and things to be figured out, you know, right away, but sometimes it takes time, and that's kind of the thing, you know, the area of the season that we're in right now.
So do you believe Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz when they say they haven't made a decision yet?
I do.
Okay,
yeah.
So do I.
They may be leaning. Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, I don't see the value in not making a decision if you know what it is. Why not get, if you know who the starter is, give them first-team reps exclusively right now and get them prepared. They're trying to figure this thing out.
I think that the conclusion that a lot of people have come to is Nathan Stanley is the more talented, more gifted physically of the two quarterbacks, and that the coaching staff wants him to go out there and win the job. Is it concerning at all that there just doesn't seem to be that separation at this point?
I don't think so, Alex. I mean, I think we forget sometimes that he's only been on campus for about a year, and I know he won the backup job last year. But, I mean, I think they did that with the idea that C.J. Beathard wasn't going to miss time. And I know you have to prepare the backup guy, but now they have two guys that have prepared as the backup, you know, in each of the last two seasons. So they both have a similar amount of experience in doing that. And it's a whole new system. You know, it's a new offensive coordinator with a new offensive system, new terminology. A lot has changed. New quarterback coach. So no, I'm not really that alarmed that we're at this point where we are. Now if it comes into the first and second week of the season and they're rotating guys in and out, you know, the two guys in and out, and it doesn't seem like they've gained any traction, then you start to worry. But with 3 weeks to go until the season or whatever it is, 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, I lose track. I'm trying not to think about the season starting. There's time. They'll figure it out.
Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining us here on a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. I think as I was walking out Saturday afternoon, you were talking one-on-one with James Butler. What were your impressions of the Nevada transfer?
Just from a person, I talking with him as a person, and I have a little bit of history with him as I covered his recruitment. That's the first time I actually had met him in person. And he's like, what's it been, 6 years? Because I kind of checked in to see how he was doing in Nevada. A lot of times with recruiting, you get to know these kids a little bit. You kind of see how things are going. But a super nice kid. And he didn't, and Kirk said the same thing, you know, in the opening to Media Day that, you know, he didn't come in here. He's not on the depth chart. He's not looking to ruffle any feathers. I think he's, you know, a kid that graduated college with an undergraduate degree in 3 years. In that sense, you figure he has maturity. So he's not, you know, he's not rocking the boat. I think he's ready to come in and contribute any way he can. And it's just, you know, I think it's a excellent addition for an offense that's trying to find an identity. When you have a nice stable of running backs that they do, that's where you start, and then you work from there.
Do you agree with me? Did you get the sense that those guys genuinely like being around each other? It seemed like there was a good amount of camaraderie among the four running backs, but in particular, Wadley and Butler.
Yeah, I do think they get along. And James said that, you know, as soon as he came in, Akram was, you know, was welcoming. They've hung out a few times, like on a personal level after practice, and just gotten to know each other. And that's a great sign. And I think one of the interesting things, and I know you talked to Ken O'Keefe quite a bit the other day too, I said, what's different now, you know, that, you know, you've been away 5 years, you came back, what's different? He said, you know, the one thing that stands out, and it's not like we didn't recruit good kids before or kids that bought into the culture, he goes, but right now I can notice that the guys that are here care, they're not me guys. And a lot of that's cliche, and who knows what's going to happen when the season starts and if there's adversity. But I think that the foundation is there. And I think that is part of what Ken was describing, is kind of the relationships that you saw with the running back. It's not, they're not looking for themselves. They're looking for the group to do well and within the team to do well. So I think they've got the right idea. We'll see what happens when the games roll around.
That and the Dunkin' Donuts. That's the big difference in his second tour of duty, as he joked when he was introduced at Carver Hawkeye Arena. One of the comments we mentioned at the start of the program today, Brian Ferentz said, look, on the offensive side of the ball, you got 11 guys. You know, five of them are on the O-line. One of them is going to be the quarterback. It's incumbent on the coaching staff to figure out who the next five best guys are to put out there. I'm putting you in the shoes of the offensive coordinator. Give me the five best guys that you would trot out there to fill out the lineup.
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit because we did see a little bit this morning of what they're, at least what they're, they showed us what what they're doing. I don't know if that's what it will be like when during the Wyoming game, but they did some three receiver sets, and in those sets they had Vandenberg, Nick Easley, and Devontae Young. Those were the three receivers. When they did the double tights with two receivers, it was Easley, Vandenberg, Picar, and Noah Font. They went, you know, more of that jumbo package with a fullback. So I don't know, and maybe I'm trying to get out of you putting me on the spot, but I think there are going to be a lot of guys that play. And I think, you know, especially earlier in the year when they're trying to figure out what they have and how these guys will play in a game situation with this new offense and this new terminology. But, you know, I think they'll, you know, receiver-wise, Adrian Falconer got in a little bit today. Tight end-wise, Hokanson and Sean Beyer and Nate Vivoda were within the first two teams today. They're really trying to figure this out. I think as the season goes on, we could see more guys emerge. But they're going to go, at least initially, I think, with what they're comfortable with. And maybe that means that maybe a true freshman receiver at the beginning of the season needs some more time to develop. And we'll see his playing time increase as the season goes on. But they're going to go with guys like Nick Easley and obviously Matt Vandenberg and guys they feel like have the things down that aren't going to, you know, make mistakes, the guys that know what they're doing initially. And it could still take a little while before some of the younger guys, feel comfortable with what they're doing out there.
Along the same vein, is it time to pump the brakes on the Matt Quarles hype? Because the paperwork hasn't gone through yet. He's going to get a late start coming to Iowa City. He's obviously going to be well behind the eight ball when he gets here.
Yeah, and I mean, the advantage you had with him of him having experience in college is now being neutralized by the fact that he's not here learning this system. So, I would agree with you. This is the longer he wasn't there again today, so the longer this thing takes, the worse it is. You know, the worse the situation is for he and the team. I reached out to his high school coach. Has kind of been hit and miss with me in terms of getting in touch with him, and he's kind of gone silent. So I really don't know what the situation is. Whether it's a thing on the Iowa end, whether it's on the NCAA's end, whether it's on the New Mexico end. But you would hope sooner than later, you know, these kids only have a certain amount of, you know, a certain window of time to be able to play, that if the kid has graduated, you know, figure it out and get him on the field, because that's what he deserves. I mean, if he's worked hard to graduate in 3 years and get on the field here, they should get him on the field.
Now, you were at practice today, and the question that I had coming out of media day was, does Kelton Copeland have any more eligibility? Because he looks like he's on the same workout plan as James Butler. But the other question is, and maybe it was answered a little bit today at practice, is how does Matt Vandenberg look? Because he's running at least in front of us for the first time in quite a long time. Is he on August the 7th full speed and healthy?
Hard to say, Alex. They really didn't show us much today. They didn't even throw a pass. They just acted like they were going to throw a pass in those situations. And he was moving around pretty well, you know, in what they were doing. But as he said the other day at media day, that they still have the governor on him a little bit in terms of not letting him go full out. And there's really no need for him to do that at this point. But by all accounts, he and Nate Budgett, the defensive tackle, who's also, I think, equally as important to James Vandenberg, or Matt Vandenberg, that both of those guys are on track, just kind of working their way back in. I think Matt Nelson's in that same situation. He was out there and dressed today and working out, but he broke his foot in the spring, so he's kind of coming back a little bit slowly. And I don't think you really need to rush those veteran guys that know what they're doing and have been through this. But it was good to see him out there working with the first team today. You have to kind of look, but read between the lines a little bit, but they did some three wide receiver sets today, spreading the defense out, and then handed off and ran, Akram inside. Some things that fans have been harping on in the past to kind of, you know, spread things out and maybe get Akron in space, it looked like they might be working on some of those things. So there's a little nugget to get fans overly excited.
Rob Howe joining us from HawkeyeNation.com. We're running a little tight on time here, but let's switch to the defensive side of the football here. It sounds as if an eight-man rotation will be employed up front, which is a little bit of a question mark because you mentioned Matt Nelson, the Cedar Rapids product, who's not exactly 100% healthy. So if anything happens to him, depth takes a little bit of a hit there. A.J. Epinesa, who's a true freshman, really talented, but he's a true freshman. Is that going to be enough, or are they going to have to dig a little bit deeper there?
I think they're okay, Todd. I think, you know, with the experience that they have coming back with, you know, the two Nelsons, Parker Hesse and Budgeta, that gives you a strong foundation. Lattimore got his feet wet last year. Brady Reef played a little bit last year. Garrett Jansen's played special teams, and he's a guy that's, he's been in the program for a few years. And then at defensive end, you know, I think guys like Matt Nelson, who the other day talked about getting some reps inside, A.J. Epinesa has gotten some reps inside. I think when you talk about a rotation, you could see them using Matt Nelson and A.J. in a rotation where they play both defensive end and defensive tackle. So maybe you're not using as many guys, but you're rotating them at different positions and giving the offense different looks. But I think they're pretty deep at that position. They've recruited really well there the last few years. Some guys are still young, like Brandon Simon and Romeo McKnight. But there's talent there, and they have depth. It's just a matter of some of those guys on the inside growing up fast, and in particular, Cedric Lattimore and Brady Reef and Garrett Jansen.
Hey, Rob, real quick before we let you go, basketball recruiting news. Iowa getting C.J. Frederick over the weekend out of Kentucky. Interesting, if not because he's a really talented player from the looks of things, but they've got two commits in the 2018 class, one scholarship. I know you wrote about it at HawkeyeNation.com. You mentioned it briefly in the Frederick piece. Fran did mention that Brady Ellingson is a senior academically. Are we looking at the possibility of maybe Ellingson after the season graduating and transferring somewhere else to play his final year to open up that scholarship?
I think that's one of the possibilities, Todd. I think that's, you know, certainly Brady may look at things next year and say, hey, you know, with Wieskamp coming in and the, you know, some of the guys that are still on the roster, where do I fit in? Would I be better off transferring somewhere else for my senior year, you know, graduate transfer-wise? But there's also a chance that Frederick could walk on. He told me that's a possibility that he, if they don't open up a scholarship, he would be willing to pay the first year. Then he could either redshirt and then have 4 years on scholarship after paying his first year, or he could play his first year and, you know, pay for that first year and then have 3 years on scholarship to play. So there are other possibilities there, too. You can have other guys that transfer. We're so early in the process right now that it's hard to say how this thing is going to shake out. But if worst comes to worst for him, he'd walk on for a year. If somebody decides to transfer, if Ellingson's a graduate transfer, they're kind of just kind of like what they did with Connor McCaffrey last year. They're just kind of playing this by ear and see how it plays out.
Great insight, as always. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Looking forward to hearing more from you this football season. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
4:53 on a Monday, Kirk Ferentz comments from Media Day to come. We're going to do something a little bit different with our Kirk Ferentz audio this year. We're going to we can't really call it the Wheel of Desperation today because we're not desperate. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about, but we'll have some fun with randomizing Kirk's comments from Media Day. You'll hear from him. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa basketball. The Hawkeyes have made their way to Germany. They play the first of their four exhibition games tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. And, of course, whatever you want to discuss as well today on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, that number 319-366-1600. And speaking of, why don't we put that number to good use right now, 366-1600. Caller number six, you're going to win our prize pack from the Amana Colonies Golf Course today. We've got a round of golf for you, a cart, and we're even going to throw in some practice balls for the range for you. Caller number six, 319-366-1600. Maybe if Scott Unash would have practiced a little bit harder, he could have won the City Am over the weekend. First thing I said, Stephen Malley from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, I sought him out at Media Day. I said, Thanks for the photo gallery on Twitter of you, Nash, from Friday. In all seriousness, though, congratulations to everybody that participated, and our very own Scott Unash and Rick Swan from right across the hall at Rob FM, and may or may not use some of those pictures of Scott later on for a project that I'm working on. 4:54, we'll find out who our winner is when we return after this.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, Dupaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use Dupaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
4:56, welcome back. The Todd Brownell Camp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann. Congratulations going out to Chris in Marion, our winner of the Amana Colonies Golf Prize Pack. That's a round of golf for you, Chris, as well as a golf cart and some range balls up against it here. So let's send it right over to Kyle. He's going to give you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa basketball team made some news on a football-heavy weekend in Iowa City, securing a commitment from 2018 shooting guard C.J. Frederick out of Kentucky. The 6'4 shooter chose Iowa over Xavier, Indiana, and Butler, but what makes his commitment interesting is that the Hawkeyes actually don't currently have an open scholarship for him. Rob Howe just told us that he may be committed enough to pay his own way for a year. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson was in Akron, Ohio over the weekend for the World Golf Championships, and he came in second after shooting 11 under par. He was near the top of the leaderboard all weekend, but Hideki Matsuyama shot a 61 on Sunday to fly up the board and win comfortably at 16 under. Another Cedar Rapids native, former Rams and Cardinals quarterback Kurt Warner, was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame over the weekend. Warner lays claim to one of the most improbable stories to NFL stardom, going from undrafted out of Northern Iowa to a Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP. The Colonels made another roster move over the weekend, recalling Shane Carrier to fill in for Aaron Whitefield as he heads to the DL, and that paid off quickly as he homered twice yesterday in a 4-0 victory over the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. They're in Wisconsin playing the third of four tonight, with Tyler Beardsley taking on Thomas Jenkins at 7 o'clock. After our show today, we've got the Twins beginning a four-game home-and-home series with the Milwaukee Brewers. Tonight's matchup will have Minnesota's Irvin Santana dueling with Brett Suter, and that'll be getting started shortly after 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
You can hear from Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz. He'll kick off hour number two. Some of his comments made Saturday afternoon inside Carver Hawkeye Arena at Iowa Media Day. We'll talk about that Hawkeye hoop situation and a whole lot more. 1 hour down, two to go. It's the Todd Brummel Camp Show. More after this.
When smart businesses need to grow their team, they do it on the site proven to deliver, Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, more hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50